live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor on 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to a Tuesday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all the great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app. 855-212-4CBS, number to jump on in, 855-212-4227. You can always get at me on the good old cesspool of Twitter or on Instagram, where I'm always straight flexing, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. Mike Florio going to stop by coming up an hour from now. We'll do two QB carousels today featuring the Seattle Seahawks, who have Geno Smith now back on a three-year deal, and we'll try to figure out what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to do at their quarterback position. But we got a lot of news right out of the gate. Lamar Jackson gets the non-exclusive franchise tag, so that pays him about $32 million for this year. He could negotiate with another team if he agrees to an offer sheet. The Ravens have a chance to match it. If they elect not to match it, then the team that signs him would have to give up two first-round picks for the former unanimous NFL MVP. And Daniel Jones, it came down to the final 10 minutes, but he gets a four-year contract with the New York Giants as well. And they slap the non-exclusive franchise tag on Saquon Barkley. And we'll see if the Giants can get a long-term deal done with Saquon Barkley. But if you're a Giant fan in the interim, for now, you have Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley under contract and ready to go for next year, assuming Saquon Barkley doesn't elect to sit out or gets a deal done with another team, and somehow that other team would give up two first-round picks for Saquon. I don't see that happening. So far, so good if you are a fan of the New York Giants. But we've got to start the show with a topic that we really discussed in depth yesterday, and I don't want to say I have a change of heart about it, but we did have a little bit of a miscalculation how the rest of the NFL teams would operate, and that is Lamar Jackson. Now, this could change, but as we just explained to you, he has the non-exclusive franchise tag. Yesterday, Hickey and I were in lockstep with this, which, by the way, producing the extravaganza for the next 4 hours is no other than the phenomenal hot take Hickey.
I don't know about that hot take Hickey.
So yesterday, we were in lockstep that it made little to no sense for the Baltimore Ravens to slap the non-exclusive franchise tag on Lamar Jackson, and they should give him the exclusive franchise tag. And a big part of our reasoning was if they didn't match, they would only get back two first-round picks. I really still do believe that if the Ravens said we're going to trade Lamar Jackson, let's pretend this non-exclusive franchise tag didn't happen today, that they would get more than two first-round picks, whether that's three first-round picks or two first-round picks and then picks in other rounds. So that, to me, didn't ever make sense why the Ravens would run the risk, even though they could match, of a team blowing a deal out of the water and one they didn't want to match, and all you get back is two first-round picks. I thought you would look stupid. But on the other side of it is there going to be a team that either overspends, as some would say, or I think properly spends, for a player like Lamar Jackson? And if you remember, the latest offer from the Ravens, according to ESPN a few weeks ago, was only $133 million fully guaranteed. Now, there's been conflicting reports, but some reports have said Lamar Jackson wants the fully guaranteed deal that Deshaun Watson got, which was $230 million guaranteed. Here was where the miscalculation was, and I'm not even willing to say that another team won't eventually go give him the fully guaranteed deal or close to it. But the owners were extremely pissed off at the Haslam family last year when they gave Deshaun Watson $230 million fully guaranteed. And Steve Bisciotti did not like it, who is the owner of the Ravens, and a bunch of other owners as well. And I don't think it's just coincidence where all of a sudden we know there's a lot of teams that need quarterbacks, and we know how great Lamar Jackson has been and can continue to be in the future, that the moment we find out that the Ravens slapped the non-exclusive franchise tag on Lamar Jackson, that there are reports out there that the Panthers, Falcons, Commanders, Raiders, and Dolphins are not expected to pursue the services or negotiate with Lamar Jackson. I think this is as clear could be. We'll see how long it lasts. If you want to call it collusion, that is fair. I don't know how you prove it, because all these owners could be operating individually, and I say that in air quotes. But I don't think it's just a coincidence where the moment he gets the non-exclusive tag, that a team with Matt Corral currently as their quarterback, Desmond Ridder, Sam Howell, the Raiders who don't have a quarterback, and the Dolphins who are one Tua concussion away from his career being over, now all of a sudden don't have interest in Lamar Jackson. So I think all these owners right now are sending a message to Lamar, get it out of your cabeza that you're not getting the Deshaun Watson deal. We're annoyed at the Haslam family, and we're going to try to make that price come down, whether that means Lamar winds back up with the Ravens or a team gives him like $200 million guaranteed, but it's not the fully guaranteed price of the contract. And then maybe the Ravens do say, all right, Lamar, we're good. We're going to move on, and we'll send two first-round picks back to that other team. But ultimately, just like the Haslam family did last year, there are owners that get desperate, and even though owners try to work together and protect the shield, once again, set in air quotes, and do what's in the best interest of the league, ultimately, one owner will swing and miss in free agency, will swing and miss in the draft, and then after the draft, will work to go pursue Lamar Jackson. That may happen before, but eventually enough dominoes will fall where one of the Panthers, Falcons, Commanders, and Raiders, and other teams as well, will go, screw the rest of the owners. We need to go do what's in the best interest of our team, and we'll deal with the consequences from the other owners and the dirty looks that we'll get in league meetings for the foreseeable future. But if Lamar is on our team, and if the Ravens didn't accept their offer and elected to send Lamar somewhere else, that owner will be fine if ultimately he wins and wins big with Lamar Jackson. That's what I think is happening here. So, yes, it doesn't look good for Lamar Jackson today, but ultimately there will be an owner that gets desperate enough and says, middle finger to the rest of the NFL. The NFL doesn't want us to give a fully guaranteed contract to a quarterback or anywhere close to that. We're going to do what benefits us. Because at the end of the day, these owners are all about themselves. So immediately you go, okay, there's a lot of teams that need a quarterback that aren't interested in a unanimous MVP. Doesn't make sense. We'll see as time continues to pass by how many of those owners and how many of those teams continue this firm stance. Because if the Panthers don't move up in a draft to get their quarterback, they sit at 9. If the Falcons don't get a quarterback, if they don't move up, they're at 8. The Commanders, you're really going to start Sam Howell this year? I know they're at 16. The Raiders, you're going to go with Jared Stidham or Jimmy Garoppolo this year when you could pursue Lamar? If Tua does not get cleared, or if something happens this offseason where he suffers a setback, you're not going to pursue Lamar? Like, I don't buy that. And who knows who else could get involved? Because if the price does come down, maybe that means that Lamar's going to go back to the Ravens because the Ravens will then just accept the offer. But if the price doesn't come down enough, you kind of be foolish if you're any of those teams we just mentioned, or throw in some other teams like the Vikings, the Lions, a team like the 49ers after the draft where they'll eventually have two first-round picks in future years. Maybe if the Jets, I think the Jets are going to get Rodgers, but if they don't get Rodgers somehow and if this falls apart in the 11th hour, you don't think the Jets are then going to go pivot to do everything in their power to go pursue the services of Lamar Jackson? There will eventually be a team that offers more than what the league wants them to offer. It will happen. It happens all the time in these negotiations, whether it's on the player side or the owner side. Like, how many times the players say, we rally together. We're going to be all one. And then when players miss paychecks, they're like, yep, screw the players union. We got to go get a deal done. We're going to accept a deal that doesn't even benefit us. The same thing will happen where there will be at least one owner that's going to make the Ravens maybe pay more than what they actually want for Lamar Jackson. So right now as we sit here, it doesn't look good for Lamar, but Lamar, time is kind of on your side. Because when you have desperation, it makes owners in the NFL break from the norm and break what the other 31 owners want them to do. We've seen it time in and time again in the NFL. Hickey, how do you react to this? And before I get your take, I just got to bring up actually a funny tweet from Trey Wingo, who is like now I guess an NFL insider. I know he's been covering the NFL for a very long time, but he's the first one to have the Rodgers news last night that Rodgers is talking with the Jets. And then today he saw a tweet about collusion maybe going on. And he wrote regarding this, spoke with sources at the NFLPA, and they're keeping a very close eye on the Lamar situation for that very reason, regarding, as Trey Wingo said, the C word. There's constant concern about that. Now, I always thought the C word was something else, but I guess in NFL circles, the C word is collusion. And that's what it appears. You can't prove it, probably, because I don't think the NFL owners are that stupid to send out an email. Hey, no, you never know. The owner in D.C. may be, where you send out an email. No one pays Lamar Jackson a fully guaranteed deal. We can't make this be the norm after what the Haslam family did with Deshaun Watson. But I'm sure these owners have had conversations verbally that were not recorded that voiced their displeasure and their disgust with what the Browns did and how they don't want to be pigeonholed into a situation where they have to go give a fully guaranteed deal to their quarterback. So, Hickey, where do you stand on all this stuff today as we pretty much had 24 hours for this to marinate and we got what was the outcome that we both were on the same side of the fence we thought was a stupid outcome? It does look a little bit better in the interim now, but we'll see how long that lasts until there's one NFL owner that ultimately gets desperate.
Like you said, no surprise he was tagged with the non-exclusive tag. I think he's already played his last game as a Raven. I thought that for a while now, and there's no doubt in my mind the team's going to make an offer that Lamar is not going to refuse, and the Ravens are not going to match. So it's just a matter of time. And that's the thing for Lamar. You don't have to get this done this week. You don't have to get this done next week. You don't have to even get a deal done by the draft. So there's no reason to rush. All the teams right now could say, we're not interested, we're not interested. Easy to say now, an hour after the tag deadline. Talk to me 3 weeks from now. Talk to me once now you get your first-round pick, whether the draft comes or goes, and now more teams are in the fray because you don't have a 2023 first-round pick. Maybe the Ravens aren't talking. Well, now in a month when the draft comes and goes, now you could start negotiating two future first-round picks. This is going to, no doubt in my mind, he'll be on a different team in 2023.
Now, we don't know how much money the Panthers and Falcons wanted to offer Deshaun Watson, but that is bizarre to me how the Panthers and Falcons were both heavily involved in the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes. And now you have a quarterback who has a squeaky clean resume off the field, has done more on the field than Deshaun Watson in the NFL. And now all of a sudden, the Panthers and Falcons are like, yeah, we're not really interested right now. Those two teams in particular are very much so bizarre. And I don't want to say I could guarantee you this, but I don't think David Tepper is going to be someone that is necessarily going to fall in line with the other NFL owners. And we know he feels the pressure and he is going to be desperate to go find their next quarterback. And it would not surprise me if Tepper is the one that does the 180 from the quote unquote non-interest that is there. And they're not expected to pursue Lamar Jackson right now. And I'll throw out another NFL owner. What about Daniel Snyder, who we all anticipate that he's going to sell the team, but we haven't really heard much on that front. And I know Dan Snyder is a disgusting human being and he's an absolute pig, but you know what wins people over? Winning. And maybe Dan Snyder, who still wants to be in the owners club, even though there's owners like Jim Irsay that clearly want him out of it and spoke for all the other owners months ago, it would not surprise me if Dan Snyder goes, yeah, I'll annoy the league one more time. I got secrets on the league. I'll go get Lamar Jackson. And even though this fan base absolutely hates my guts right now, if we start winning, people will then start to ignore my awful, awful, awful past. And the NFL would literally have to kick him out in order to get him out. Because maybe getting Lamar will make him say, yeah, I have second thoughts, even though we've hired a firm. I have second thoughts about selling the team. Those are the two owners that I look for right away. Daniel Snyder and David Tepper to do a 180 from where the reporting is right now.
Absolutely. I mean, look, it's coincidence, if you want to say that, timing-wise, that, what, six teams, five teams right away within an hour that need a quarterback or should
collusion
be in the quarterback market are out on Lamar Jackson for sure. Like I said, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month from now, I expect things to change.
And I'll throw one more other owner out there who we know likes to break the rules as well. Stephen Ross. If one thing happens, and we don't want to see it happen to Tua, you're going to tell me that Stephen Ross, who flirted with Brady and got a draft pick taken away, isn't going to go flirt with Lamar Jackson and say, yeah, I already ruffled some feathers in the league office. Maybe I'll end up doing that once again. That would not shock me whatsoever. So those are the three teams that I really keep an eye on. The Panthers, the Commanders, and then I will also say the Miami Dolphins. And, like, come on, if you're the Falcons, Arthur Blank, like, what are you doing? You're not getting any younger. You want to win. Everyone remembers you as the fool that walked downstairs celebrating, thinking that you won a Super Bowl and your team blew a lead where you're on the sideline. You're really going to go with Desmond Ridder? That's what you're going to do? Are you going to wait another year? Like, how many teams are going to keep on waiting? You have Lamar Jackson. Guy's a unanimous MVP. I know he's been injured the last 2 years, but the guy's a heck of a player. He's an explosive player in the league. And you're going to hold your nose up high and go, yes, the Haslam family did this last year. It was disgusting. Therefore, we won't give him a fully guaranteed contract or close to a fully guaranteed contract. Baloney. You will. Because all these owners are selfish. Selfish pigs. That's what they are. And even though they'll say we're going to work together, they will ultimately operate in the best interest of themselves. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. We'll take a break. When we come on back, the Jets talked to Aaron Rodgers last night. I saw that they were flying today. The plane has already landed. Jet Force One, if you want to call it. Take flight with the Jets, the JETS Jets in California. And now they're meeting face-to-face with Aaron Rodgers. I don't know if they have to go into a cave to meet with Aaron Rodgers, but they're meeting with Aaron Rodgers. We'll talk about the Jets and Rodgers when we come on back in five.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. So legal tampering, which is always a stupid way of saying it, but that's what the NFL makes us say, will start on Monday. If I had to make a prediction right now, and I will acknowledge this is not a big, bad, bold take coming from yours truly, I would say by the end of the week, end of the weekend, maybe, at the most, that Aaron Rodgers is going to be a member of the New York Jets. It is crystal clear from Gutekunst basically telling you that Love is ready to go and him not saying, yes, we want Aaron back, going back to the combine last week. And now we know that the Packers gave the Jets permission. This is not some Stephen Ross tampering. The Packers gave permission to Woody Johnson and also the Jets to talk to Aaron Rodgers. Where it was reported last night, oh, Aaron Rodgers and the Jets are talking. It's like, don't bury the lead. That means the Packers are allowing Aaron Rodgers and the Jets to have a conversation. And this entire time, what we have said is the Packers don't want to be viewed as the team that forced the great Aaron Rodgers out of town. They want Rodgers to fall in love or be fine with going to another destination and say, oh, after my conversation with the Jets, if this is the team that you want to get a deal done with, then I'm good. Or come back to the Packers in an ideal world and say, guys, thank you for everything you've done. Don't even need to say that. I'm ready to leave. I like what the Jets just sold me, and I'm ready to go to New York. That's what the Packers want to have happen because they don't want to be viewed as the bad guys here, because there will be a percentage, whether it's the majority or the minority, that's up for you guys to decide, that in the Packers fan base will say, we don't want Aaron Rodgers in another uniform. And Gutekunst, if he doesn't get Love to work, he should be out of a job, but he wants to be able to spin it as if, I love Aaron Rodgers. I would never want to get rid of Aaron Rodgers, even though he traded up unnecessarily in the first round a few years ago to go get Jordan Love. But I am the biggest Aaron Rodgers fan there is. We have a good relationship, blah, 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 blah. It was him who didn't want to be here, not me. This is a married couple that have been together for a long time, that even though they've had their ups and downs, they've won a lot of games, they've won a Super Bowl, right? Packers, Rodgers together, Rodgers going to Hall of Fame. He'll always be remembered as a Green Bay Packer. But this is a married couple that had a bunch of kids. They lived a great 20, 25 years together, whatever you want to call it. And now they realize that spark is not there anymore. and they're in couples therapy. Couples therapy has not go well. They are looking at each other. They know what the other person's thinking. They know what they are thinking. And it's both, we want to split, but it's whoever's going to be the first person to come out and say, we're done, we're over. The other side could use that against them and say, oh yeah, we always wanted to be together. It was them that broke up with me, not me breaking up with them. It's stupid semantics at this point. It's really petulant behavior. You have to be the biggest idiot in the world to realize the Packers don't want Aaron Rodgers anymore. And I think it was up to Rodgers. He would want to finish his career in Green Bay. But when you're a player of his caliber and you sense the GM and probably the coach are fine and don't want you there anymore, I don't care who you are and how tough you are, your ego has to be affected by that. And if you're not feeling the love, and you could say, isn't it irony, right? Because Rodgers, people get on him for not being all in the offseason, not attending the voluntary stuff. Well, the Packers are no longer all in on Aaron Rodgers. So this divorce is coming. This divorce is happening. And Hickey, I would absolutely be shocked by the end of the weekend if we're not sitting here knowing that the Packers and Aaron Rodgers are done and Aaron Rodgers is off to New York after they probably figure out some of the writers in his contract, like unlimited ayahuasca and then probably Randall Cobb also joining him in the Big Apple as well. This will happen. This deal will get done. I would be shocked at this point, especially with the Raiders having like no interest, it appears, when we thought the Raiders would definitely be in. It would be stunning at this point if Rodgers didn't wind up with the Jets.
I'm not ready to go there yet. Just
okay,
because
why is
I
that?
Think other teams, now that they see Aaron Rodgers is willing to play and willing to play somewhere else, I think more teams will get involved. I think there was teams that were afraid or wanted to see what Aaron Rodgers was thinking first, whether he's going to retire or not, whether he actually wanted to play for a team not named the Packers or not. And now, obviously, meeting with the Jets 2 days in a row, it's clear Aaron Rodgers is set to play in 2023 and that he's okay with playing somewhere else outside of Green Bay. I think this is going to just open up the door for other teams to want to talk to Aaron Rodgers, see if they can make a deal done first. So I'm not ready to say this weekend we'll have a done deal and Rodgers would be a Jet.
But doesn't a deadline have to kind of be the start of the legal tampering period? Are you willing to go at least until, well, I would say it has to be the legal tampering period because that's when deals pretty much get done, even though they can't be official. We see some players go back on their words. But if you're Rodgers, you would want a deal to get done by Sunday so then the Jets could go legal tampering with other people so they can come join you in New York for the pieces that you think you need to go bring in to go make them a Super Bowl contender. And for the Packers, don't you also want to know who your quarterback's going to be and it's going to be Love, and then that allows you the freedom to go try to get other pieces for Jordan Love?
Yeah, it's only Tuesday. Why can't, you know, other teams jump in tomorrow, Thursday, Friday? Like, it doesn't seem like this is going to take that long.
So what teams?
I think the Dolphins should be interested. I think a team like the Panthers should be interested. Like, I think there's a lot of teams that we're talking about Lamar. Yeah, absolutely should be calling for the Packers for Aaron Rodgers.
I don't think the Dolphins will be interested because I still think in the Dolphins' mind, they believe that Tua is going to be their starting quarterback come week one. So I will throw the Dolphins out. The Raiders, to me, and I don't know how you feel on this, after hearing Vic Tafer the other day with us, it's stunning how it seems like they aren't really interested in Aaron Rodgers. That one I don't get. Like, if you would have said the Raiders, I would say, in theory, yeah, it makes sense. And I thought he was going to the Raiders. I said that in February, early February. But that's the stunning one. That's the confusing one to me, is that the Raiders really don't seem to have that much interest in Aaron Rodgers. Maybe that changes in the next few days, and you're right on that.
Yeah, I don't see Aaron Rodgers going to, I don't think it's a good fit for the Raiders. I don't think it's a good fit for Aaron Rodgers. I don't think that's a place he'd want to go, working with Josh McDaniels, kind of knowing how he's headstrong in one way he coaches. We know Aaron Rodgers wants to run a team the way he wants to. I don't think that would be a good partnership. I think it's part of the reason why, amongst other things, Raiders and Aaron Rodgers really never got any traction.
Now, I like the Panthers suggestion because if you put him on the Panthers, I would say they do then usurp the Saints, who just went out and got Derek Carr, and that division absolutely stinks. Like, don't get me wrong here. The Jets have the best roster out of any of the teams that I think are realistic options or at least potential options. I don't throw the Dolphins in there. Because I still think the Dolphins are operating under the belief that they're going to have Tua Tagovailoa. But if you tell me the Raiders, the Panthers, and the Jets would be the three suitors, like, let's just say, even the Jets have the best roster, you're then thrown in the AFC where you have Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, you also have Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow, for now Lamar Jackson, Trevor Lawrence with the Jaguars. If I'm Rodgers, and I don't know if the Packers would be willing to deal him in the NFC, but I think you take the best package available and you go from there. Clearly, they would not deal him inside the NFC North. But if a team like the Commanders comes calling, or more importantly, a team in the NFC South, I would go there because I think it's an easier road to guarantee a spot back to the playoffs. Like, don't get me wrong, the Jets should make the playoffs with Aaron Rodgers, but it's not a lock because I would still believe that Josh Allen with the Buffalo Bills would win that division before the Jets would. I don't even know if the Jets would finish in second if Tua could somehow stay healthy. The Dolphins, you know, have a pretty good offense, and they got to fix their defense.
Yeah, the AFC road is obviously very, you know, a lot harder. But yeah, I mean, if you're like, again, like now I think that you see the Jets talking to Rodgers and Rodgers showing their willingness to leave. I think that should just signal to other teams if you were kind of hesitant and didn't want to make the first move, you got to get going. I think, yeah, you got to get going quickly here.
Because the Jets do have a leg up, and you may laugh at this. Rodgers loves Nathaniel Hackett. Hackett's now their offensive coordinator.
And the Broncos tried it last year, didn't work, and the Jets basically took the same playbook. And so far, seems to be working a whole lot better than it did in Denver.
So yesterday, we talked about our expectations for the Saints and how it's like, all right, the Saints with Carr, they should win the division, but I expect nothing more than that. What's your expectations for the Jets if they do, in fact, land Aaron Rodgers? That's the poll question today. You can find it on Twitter, at Zach Gelb, at CBS Sports Radio. And here are the four options. Be in the Super Bowl, win the AFC East, be a wild card team, or miss the playoffs. How would you... Actually, what's your first choice there? Just wondering, Hickey.
I will say make the playoffs.
As a wild card?
As a wild card. Yeah,
sorry. I would say one would be a wild card team. Two would be miss the playoffs. Three would be win the AFC East, most likely to least likely. And then four, be in the Super Bowl. Like, the Jets have a very good young defense that can be great. And it showed last year their ability to be great. Offensively, Breece Hall coming off the injury, if he could stay healthy, looked like he was going to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. Then you do have the Offensive Rookie of the Year in Garrett Wilson. You have Elijah Moore, who I guess saved his career in New York after the troubling stuff that we found out about last year. And it looked like he was going to get dealt right off the team. Yeah, they got to fix that offensive line and make sure that guys like Becton and Elijah Vera Tucker can remain healthy. They should be a playoff team, but I don't think it's a lock because Buffalo to me is a lock. Kansas City is a lock. The Chargers are a lock. The Bengals are a lock. The Jaguars are a lock. Like, those are five teams right there. And then it feels like there would be two more spots that will be up for grabs. The Jets should be able to grab one of those other spots. But I don't think with Rodgers that the Jets end up winning a Super Bowl, because we've seen him be 13-3, 13-3, 13-3, and play some of the best ball in his career, and they didn't even get to a Super Bowl in Green Bay.
And not to mention, the issues that Aaron Rodgers had last year with the offense in Green Bay is similar to the issues he'll have in New York. He didn't get along with the receivers last year. They're all young and experienced. You go to the Jets, what do you work with? Young and experienced players at receiver, at running back, on the line. Like, if he can't gel with his new teammates, and we saw last year it didn't work, why does anyone think it's going to work in New York?
Well, I will say, at least Garrett Wilson has some established success in this league.
Like, sure,
at least
he does,
it's not his rookie
young.
Year anymore. He's still young, sure, but the guy just won the Offensive Rookie of the Year, and you would imagine that the Jets would go out there and pursue someone else, whether that's a trade maybe for DeAndre Hopkins or whatever wide receiver becomes available that's established in the league, or they bring in Randall Cobb, someone that he trusts. Can they go out there? They'd be trading away. I don't know what the draft capital would be, but could you draft another wide receiver? Things along those lines. I would think that the Jets would just not stop at Aaron Rodgers. If you're making a move for Aaron Rodgers, even though I don't think you're going to win a Super Bowl, you'd be all in and do whatever it takes under the salary cap constraints to go out there and put you in the best position to succeed.
Right, but even if it's drafting another young receiver, getting someone else, like, he obviously takes a lot of time to develop chemistry, no matter who you are, no matter what year you are. We saw even Devontae Adams, it took 3 years for them to get on the same page together.
You don't think he can develop chemistry with Hopkins if he brings him in right away?
No.
Really?
No.
He's one of the best wide receivers in football.
How long did it take for him and Devontae Adams to get on the same page? Like, he's someone, he's different. The way he plays the game is different because it's more mental than anything else. You got to get on the same. You got to basically, if you're a receiver, think like Aaron Rodgers. That's very hard to do, especially when he's not present half the time. It's not something where you just get on the field and play. He wants you in a certain spot at a certain time. When you see a coverage, you both got to know without any sort of signal what you're running there. That's part of the reason why him and Devontae Adams were so great. They were on that same synergy, but it took 3 years. It's not going to be one of those plug and play. Aaron Rodgers is here. This is going to be a top five offense.
If Hopkins goes there, I think they would absolutely be able to find a way to get in sync pretty damn quickly. This is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Mike Florio going to join us coming up at the top of the hour. We'll take a break. When we come on back, we got five other storylines to get to in the NFL. We know Lamar Jackson got the non-exclusive tag. Aaron Rodgers meeting with the Jets. We'll get to some other storylines when we come on back.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. You can always find our poll question on Twitter, at Zach Gelb, at CBS Sports Radio. And the early return to the question of if the Jets land Aaron Rodgers, what are your expectations for them? 18% say miss the playoffs. 22% say be in the Super Bowl. 23% say win the AFC East. And 37% in first place, be a wild card team. Make sure you chime on at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, or on our Twitter account. Also, I guess when I was away in Barcelona, I must have missed this, but Andrew Perloff is supposed to eat an entire jar of peanut butter. I don't think that has happened yet, but it turns out that the lawyers have got involved here at Odyssey, and for a while, it was deemed not safe for Perloff to do that, which I don't understand, but I guess the lawyers have come around and Spike Eskin gave two thumbs up, and now Perloff can eat this jar of peanut butter, and we'll try to get the info on when it's going to happen. But I did see Perloff put out a tweet asking what brands of peanut butter should he eat, and there was a lot of responses of Skippy, 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 Skippy. A lot of responses. Now, Hickey considers himself to be a peanut butter connoisseur. He's not. And I think that was made clear with his peanut butter reviews that he put up. Do you still do those, by the way? I saw peanut butter
just
bars.
Just had a one last week, Trader Joe's peanut butter bars.
But that's the peanut butter bars.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But not the traditional peanut butter out of a jar. Like, have you tried all the peanut butters that there are out of the jar? At this rate, that are worth trying.
A good amount, yeah. I would say so. I mean, there's not that many peanut butter brands that
have
you
dabbled into almond butter and I think it's like sunflower butter or whatever it is?
Because that's not peanut butter. We stick right to peanut butter. We don't go outside almonds. We don't worry about sunflowers. I've had sunflower butter before.
Maybe you should not expand your horizons for the reviews. No, I'm
not
saying
good.
For the reviews because it seems like the reviews
butter.
Are getting a little dry.
How about that? I disagree, actually.
If we're going to Trader Joe's peanut butter bars where there was no peanut butter, actually, in those bars.
That's
I remember
correct.
Seeing the review.
That's correct.
So anyway, a lot of responses on Perloff's account for Skippy, 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 Skippy. And then I saw like one person, his name is, what's his Twitter account? @Ryan_Hickey. Oh, that's you. That was talking about Jif. A lot of Skippies. And there's a photo of you, a great photo of you online. As you are screaming in excitement that I just put out there over the Skippy peanut butter. What is your thing with Skippy? I just don't get it.
It's very simple. It's not good.
Oh, it's amazing.
It's tasteless. It's bland. It's disgusting. That's my only thing. That's my only gripe against Skippy. It sucks.
So what makes Jif that much better?
The taste. It's very simple.
You got to give me more than that.
What do you mean? Have you tied both?
Yes. I love Skippy. I prefer
reassess
Skippy.
That. I would really reassess that.
Oh, do you consider Doc Emrick to be one of the great play-by-play men of all time?
Yeah, in that field, absolutely.
Okay. You know what Doc Emrick would do to keep his energy up during games?
What is that?
Eat peanut butter. When I once asked him if he would like some peanut butter when I was meeting him in Philadelphia, he said, absolutely. Bring me Skippy.
Well, great announcer, terrible taste buds. Sorry, it happens.
But I don't think correlate. Your taste buds are actually valid, and here's why. You don't try enough things. Like, if you tried enough things, I would be willing to consider your opinion as, like, an expert. But there's a lot of foods that you will just refuse to try when I've been away with you, and you go, nope, don't like the way that looks. I'm not eating that. So you're a picky eater. So I really do feel like your taste buds have bumpers up like we're at a bowling alley. And you got to let the bumpers down a little bit. And then I think you could maybe take a deeper road down this food path of being viewed as like this food taste tester connoisseur. That would be my advice.
Two things. Number one, I just did a peanut butter review. I have expanded my horizons to all different peanut butters. I am not opposed to trying peanut butters. I'm just reporting back on, but that's not peanut butter. I'm reporting back on what I taste. And unfortunately, because Jif is not exactly the healthiest thing in the world, don't get me wrong, no other peanut butter does compare to the taste. Number two, I am on Andrew's tweet right now. I am looking at the Perloff tweet from about a week or so ago. I'm looking at the responses. I see a lot of Jif.
Well, a lot of people do compare you to Donald Trump. You both spread a lot of fake news.
Go scroll yourself.
I did.
I don't think you've scrolled hard enough. Or you're only selectively seeing what you want to see.
And you know what?
And you're only looking at peanut butters that start with S, and any other letter you're just blocking out of your mind.
Or do you think my mother has a good opinion? Are you really going to talk crap about Mrs. Gelb? Are you going to do that right now? I'm just asking.
It depends what her peanut butter take is.
Because my mother was an absolute saint when I was a kid, growing up, making me peanut butter sandwiches, no jelly, because I wasn't a big fan of jelly when I was a kid. Sometimes she would put some M&Ms occasionally in the peanut butter sandwich. That's probably why I was a fat kid growing up. And she just texted me out of nowhere. She's in Florida on vacation, I guess listening to the show. And she goes, I've made peanut butter sandwiches for over 20 years. Skippy is the best brand of peanut butter. Tell Hot Take Kiki he has cold takes when it comes to peanut butter.
Jeez.
Thank you, Mama Gelb. A standing ovation to Mama Gelb.
Your mother may have made peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for 20 years.
You watch your mouth. You watch your
mouth. I have eaten peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for 25 years, bare minimum.
Stop.
I know good taste.
Stop.
Jif. You know what? But the good thing is you like Skippy. That means more Jif for me. So I'm not really complaining. I'm just telling you the truth.
What was the brand that just got recalled for salmonella?
Well, it was Jif. What are you going to do?
Oh! I didn't see Skippy get recalled.
Well, does that have to do with taste?
You're probably creating these articles. You're probably writing them up, you fake news peanut butter guy. And you're probably going to give me some article that there was a recall on Skippy.
Oh, I'm not arguing the recall. The recall killed me over the summertime, but that has nothing to do with the taste.
Also,
it's unfortunate.
The slogan says it all. You fuel the fun. That's what you do.
I was going to say, choosy moms choose Jif. That slogan's better than feel the fun.
It's a fun peanut butter, and it tastes great. What are you saying? My mother's not fun?
What is a fun peanut butter even mean?
Did you just say my mother's not fun?
Did you just say
my mother's not fun?
I would say choosy moms choose Jif.
Oh! My
That's
mother has
say.
Great taste.
I'm not saying she doesn't.
She once dated the Wolf of Wall Street.
True story. I wonder what peanut butter he liked. That's a good question to ask.
Well, whatever they were serving in prison, probably.
Wow. You know, maybe that's... If they serve Jif in prison, maybe I got to reevaluate them.
Oh, wait, Mom, is that right? Lori Gelb just called me.
Oh, here we go.
Jordan Belfort in prison requested Skippy peanut butter? All right, sounds good.
Well, that makes sense.
Reputable source.
Skippy peanut butter absolutely deserves to be served in prisons.
Five quick storylines from the NFL so far. Brady, this possibility, Rich Eisen said, of him coming out of retirement, having talks... could potentially be the Dolphins or the 49ers enough. I don't want to see, as much as I love Tom Brady, I don't need to see him on a football field anymore. You have retired now twice. I know Brady went to Twitter today and he responded, anyone who thinks I have time to come back to the NFL has never adopted a two-month-old kitten for their daughter. I thought that was a good tweet. Brady, if you're going to make a joke like that, don't come back. You already had SiriusXM NFL on your podcast. You had Belichick on. You guys were crying together. As much as I love Brady, and Brady is my favorite football player, favorite quarterback of all time, you have retired now twice. You can't be coming back for another time. Now, I'm sure if Brady does elect to come back, I will throw a parade of happiness and all that. But right now, I am good with seeing Tom Brady retired. Number two, even though there's a collusion going on right now in the NFL, I do think the Panthers are the most likeliest team to, I don't want to say overpay, but pay enough where the Ravens would maybe balk at the offer and then send two first-round picks back to the Baltimore Ravens. Three, Derrick Henry may or may not be available. He should be available. Final year of the deal, Tennessee is nowhere close to winning again. Bills and Eagles will obviously be involved. Saquon Barkley now on the tag. Josh Jacobs of the Raiders now on the tag. We know that the Bills and Eagles will pursue Derrick Henry. don't be surprised that the Cowboys, I know they're going to probably look for a wide receiver first, but they have Pollard on the tag. Maybe they get rid of Zeke. And I don't know how much you have to give up to go get Derrick Henry with 1 year left on his contract. I think that would be a smart move if the Cowboys pursue Derrick Henry. Baker Mayfield, Jordan Schultz said there could be a bidding war between the 49ers and Rams. I don't know how much I believe that, Hickey, but if I'm him and the 49ers want to bring you in, I think you go there. But that doesn't make sense if you're the Niners, because then he could maybe win the job outright, because that's telling you that you don't really believe that much in Trey Lance or Brock Purdy. You got two quarterbacks there.
What does a bidding war even mean for Baker Mayfield?
$8 million, yeah, $9 million, $10 million. You want Skippy or you want Jeff? And then Texans may be interested in Jimmy G. I think he'll ultimately land with the Raiders because Rodgers is going to the Jets, 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 Jets. We'll take a break. We'll come on back. We'll try to put Hickey on load management when it comes to crappy peanut butter takes. But when we do return in 5 minutes, Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk will join us to talk about all the mayhem in the NFL.
This podcast is supported by FX's Snowfall. FX's Snowfall is back for his sixth and final season, where a feud threatens to destroy the Saint family. Franklin is faced with losing everyone he loves and everything he's built. Getting through it will mean outmaneuvering multiple law enforcement agencies, as well as avoiding the LAPD's corrupt crash units. John Singleton's visionary series comes to an epic conclusion. FX's Snowfall, the final season. All new Wednesdays on FX. Stream on Hulu.